Lord, I love you and I thank you that you are for us, that you're faithful, that you're good, that your mercies are new every morning, that you have our back and you have those in our church family that have our back. Lord God, I just thank you that you're so good to us. Lord, I thank you that your word gives us life. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you lead us into all understanding. And God, I thank you that when we look to you and when we follow you, that we will get you in all that you have for us. So, Lord, as we go into this time and with this kind of family talk that we're about to have, Lord, I just thank you that we are following you and that where you are leading is glorious. I thank you, God, that your word shows us and tells us that you take us from glory to glory. What a blessing. What a promise. We love you. Amen? Amen. Well, over the past 2.5 years, the Lord has been bringing up a reoccurring subject in our elders' meeting. And by the way, if you're here for the first time or you're kind of new, this is going to be kind of a family talk, talking about what God is saying to us and what he's wanting to do here in the Evident Life Church family at such a time as this. And so you're here at a great week to get more insight in what God is doing. Next week, we're going to launch into a whole new series. We're going to open up one of the New Testament books. We're going to see what God wants to say to us through the Apostle Paul. But I want to talk about this topic, this subject that the Lord has been bringing up to us in our elders' meetings for the last 2.5 years. We spent a lot of time in prayer over this subject. We've discussed it, and we've discussed it, and we've discussed it. And we've even written papers and submitted them to the team and to one another about this particular topic and what God's Word says and what God is saying to us. We've been seeking the Lord for direction as it relates to church membership. Church membership. Initially, our response to God bringing this up time and time again was, okay, God, all right, that's really cool. We want to hear what you're saying, Lord. We definitely need to hear what you're saying. We know that it's important. You keep highlighting it. But church membership doesn't seem that urgent right now. Can we put it on the back burner for just a little bit longer as we're dealing with and enjoying other things right now? The Lord kept bringing it up. He wouldn't let it go. And so here we are. Here we are. I want to go back a few months to late 2015 and kind of set the stage here a little bit, how God operates and what he's been doing here at Evident Life Church, and then tie it back into where he's leading us into church membership. Late last year, we felt a strong encouragement. We felt a strong leading from the Lord to formally institute the office of deacon, as it's described in the book of Acts. The Lord said, do that here at Evident Life Church. And so we did it. We've subsequently formally anointed 5 initial deacons into this office. We brought them up front. We laid hands on them. We sent them into the office of deacon here at Evident Life Church. Now, this office of deacon isn't something that a lot of contemporary churches are doing anymore, which made us go, really, God? Deacon? Really? But God said, yes, do it, and let's see what happens. So we acted in obedience to the Lord's leading. And as a result of that, as I've talked about already, because it's blowing my mind and it's so evident and obvious, we have seen immediate and noticeable expansion of our ministry bandwidth and capacity. I mean, noticeable. It's been incredible. Our obedience to God's prompting has resulted in a noticeable increase in evidence of God's grace on this church family. And it's a reminder that when we do what God tells us to do, he blesses it. Even if it seems old-fashioned, even if it seems kind of out of the box or different or really right now. But when we act in obedience and when we do in our own lives, in our families, at work, in the church, when we do what God is prompting and calling us to do, there is blessing that follows that. That's God's economy. And so, getting back to church membership, during this season, we're feeling compelled by the Lord to respond to his prompting to launch formal church membership here at Evident Life. And now the deacons, going back to them, making this parallel here, you see these men, these 5 initial deacons, and there will be more that will be added over the course of time, but these initial 5 guys, they were already doing what they're still doing for the most part. There's been some expansion, more responsibility and opportunity for ministry, but for the most part, they were already doing what they're doing right now. But when we did what God said and we formally acknowledged, anointed, and appointed them into this position, it was just like, whew, supernatural expanded ministry capacity and effectiveness. God blessed it. He applied what I'm calling the kingdom of God multiplier to it. How many of you have experienced the kingdom of God multiplier in your life? If you haven't, you can. And I want, just as the word came earlier, expect it, anticipate it, desire it. It's how God works. When we do things His way, when we get in line with His economy, there is exponential blessing and multiplication that happens. God-sized stuff instead of just kind of our-sized stuff. So this happened. These guys were already doing what they're pretty much still doing, but because we stepped into formally doing what God called us to do in obedience, God blessed it in a big way. Likewise, this church family is already living in unity. We are, by God's grace. We're committed to one another. It's unbelievable how you serve one another. I talked about that in our Evident Life Church too, or how it humbles me. It blows my mind how good you are caring for one another. It's obvious. It's amazing. We're knit together. We're already there. But church membership, what God is calling us into right now, is a response to God's prompting. And it's that formal recognition, really, of already what He's doing. That DNA that's already here at Evident Life Church. And we believe that when we do this, when we step in and take this formal step that God's calling us to take, that God is going to bless it. And that He's going to greatly expand our effectiveness as a church. And we are going to experience yet another kingdom of God multiplier at Evident Life Church. I believe it's going to happen. This is how He operates. This is the way He does things. And so it's with excitement and great anticipation that we're stepping forward into this season of launching official and formal church membership at Evident Life Church. Now, I realize something. I realize that we live in a culture that resists commitment. I mean, our culture hates commitment. Almost. It almost hates that word commitment as it hates the word Jesus. I say that because, I mean, it's the only name, it's the only word that you can say and get crazy response from. Some people are going to be drawn to Jesus. Others are just going to go crazy, like animosity against the name of Jesus. So I want to encourage you to say His name often. Where you go in the rooms that you walk into, not to create animosity, but because people need to hear His name. Because it's at His name that every other knee will bow. It's at His name that every other name has to flee and be gone. Now, I don't know if I shared this with you last week or the week before, but after I got back from my vacation earlier this month, I did a wedding, and then we had Sunday morning services. And the next morning at 7 in the morning, I was at the state capitol, and I was asked to lead off the annual prayer walk of the state capitol. And we launched it in the House of Representatives chamber. And so we were in there, and I got up to pray to launch it, and I just started saying the name Jesus. It just started coming out, and then I just asked everyone in the room to start declaring the name of Jesus over this place. It must have been 30 seconds, maybe a whole minute, and that's all that was being said in that room, was just declaring the name of Jesus over that room, because that room needs to be bathed in the name of Jesus. His name needs to be exalted in that place. Now, hopefully not just once, but hopefully time and time again. And you can be praying for me, because on February 11th, I'm going to be over there again. They've asked me to pray again, I believe, in that same chamber. And so by God's grace, His name will be declared again in that place. And there are a lot of Christians that serve in this state. We're blessed. We're blessed to have believers that serve us in the government and even in that chamber. Pray for them. Keep praying for them. But I guess my point is this, is that there are few words that people dislike as much as commitment. Commitment. I mean, we live in a culture where we celebrate rugged individualism, independence, not being tied down. We're hooking up, we're shacking up, and living together are more desired than the God-designed and God-ordained institution of holy matrimony, of marriage. That's the culture we live in. No commitment. And in our culture, that same culture that resists commitment, what do we find? We find depression, addiction, suicide rates skyrocketing. All of this stuff is skyrocketing. Even in our community here, we live in a very sanitized, blessed town of Gilbert. the second lowest crime rate in the nation. We have amazing schools, all the things that we need, all the amenities of life. It's a little bubble almost. Yet, when I talk with my friend, the chief of police, he tells me the number of people that are hurting, the number of people that are depressed, the number of people that are acting out in that with drugs and alcohol and violence is increasing at a rapid rate. At a rapid rate. Even in this little bubble community called Gilbert, Arizona. It's because most people are lonely, they're disconnected, and they're hopeless. They don't know where they belong. And we all are created with a longing to belong. We just are. See, this is unfortunately also true of many Christians. They're lonely, they're disconnected, they feel hopeless. The word even came forward. You don't have to be that way this morning. We don't have to accept that. But unfortunately, that's the state of a lot of Christians. They're depressed even. They don't know where they belong. And that shouldn't be so. Say it ain't so. You know, it shouldn't be so. Christians bouncing around looking for their place, looking for their purpose, and the enemy has them on this treadmill of just continuing to bounce around, looking for a place, looking where they belong. Instead, our reality in Christ is found in Scripture. So I want you to turn with me. There's a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a local church in a place called Ephesus. It's actually a pretty bustling city. I've been there. Well, it's the ruins now. It's bustling with tourism right now. But I've been there. It's quite phenomenal. But this letter was written to a local church in a place called Ephesus. Let's pick up in Ephesians 2, verse 19. Consequently, God's word says, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. You're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. We sang about that earlier this morning. It's so important to know that. As we're talking about church membership, it's not signing a line or getting on a membership roll that does anything. It's Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. That's what builds us and holds us together. We know that. Critical. Verse 21. In him, in Jesus, our chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too. You too, local church in Ephesus, Paul is writing, but you too, local church, Evident Life Church in Gilbert, Arizona, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Now check this out. There is a special indwelling of God, more of God. How many of us long for more of God, more indwelling of God in our lives? You can raise your hand. I'm going to raise my hand. I long for that. And God's word just shows us right here in Ephesians 2 that there's a special indwelling of God, more of God in a church that's tight, that's unified, that's joined together as members in the local body. There's a connection with that. This is God's economy that we're experiencing here and that God's word is revealing to us. And so at Evident Life Church, we recognize this reality that we are more than a group of believers gathering together. We're more than that. We're called to be more than that. God's word shows us that there can be and should be more than just that. That we're more than just a bunch of Christians simply attending a service together. I mean, that's great, but God has more for his body, more for his people. A tighter, a more knitting together than just a bunch of his people getting in a room every once in a while together. There's more than that. That we're more than a bunch of members of the greater body of Christ who happen to be in the same room. We're just more than that. Rather, we call ourselves the Evident Life Church a family. And God calls us members of his family. And we call ourselves a family here at Evident Life Church. Not just a gathering. Not just a group, but a family. And at the core of a family is commitment. It's called the marriage covenant. That's at the core of the family. Now, you can have a family without a formal marriage license. I mean, you can have a family. I mean, not legally in this state, but you can have a family and call it a family and a gathering, a group of people that are, quote unquote, a family. You can have that without the formal marriage license, without that covenant. But I'll tell you what, the level of commitment goes to a whole nother level when it becomes formalized, when there's actually real commitment and covenant to one another. And what that does is it brings strength, it brings stability, and it brings protection to the marriage, but to the whole family. It takes things to a whole nother level where peace can actually flourish in that kind of environment, where a little disagreement doesn't rip something apart because of commitment, stability, strength, protection. Commitment is good. Can we all say that right now? I don't usually do this to everybody in the church, this kind of response thing, but I just want to say this after me. Commitment is good. Amen. Not many people around saying that. We are a peculiar people here. Amen. Commitment is good. In Scripture, a covenant or a public promise was the basis for all society, including marriage, including employment, even citizenship. The covenant. A covenant indicates a meaningful relationship that goes beyond convenience and into the realm of commitment. The C word, commitment. In Scripture, covenant meant an agreement that lasted for life. And this meaningful term is a picture of the kind of relationship that we're to have with one another as members of the family of God. However, we recognize, before you start sweating and getting crazy and running for the doors, we recognize that membership at a local church is often not for life as God moves us around, as God determines it's a season for you to go and minister over here. We need you as a hand over here, a foot over here, an ear over here, as God orchestrates our lives. I just want to take a brief moment, too, and also talk about this continuum that really exists in a church family environment, where there's different stages of engaging in the body of Christ, and there's different stages and times and seasons and realities of engaging in a local body. For instance, there are some, even here this morning, that are not Christians even right now. You're just coming. Maybe you came with somebody and you're checking this whole Christian thing out, wanting to know what's it all about, is it real, and all of that. And Jesus isn't your Lord and Savior yet. There's others that are here in this room right now, and we're in the earlier service, and you know Jesus, and you're just kind of in a season of feeling like the Lord's leading you somewhere else, and so you've been kind of coming, maybe the first time, second, third time, checking out this church. Maybe you've been here several times, and you're starting to connect, and you're going to sign up for a grow group. You come to a prayer meeting, and you're starting to get to know a few of the people here at Evident Life Church. There's others of you who have been around for a long time, and man, you've been committed, and you're giving and you're serving and you're helping one another, and it's been years that you've been here. So we're in this kind of continuum. So just kind of understand that as I'm saying this. As I talk about church membership, I'm not saying that we're going to membership and you're either a member or you don't get through the door type thing. God has us in different seasons. He's walking us through this continuum of engaging in his family. And so God is leading us to kind of the next step here at Evident Life Church. What does church membership mean at Evident Life? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 12. I'm going to be reading from the ESV in this passage. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. I'm going to jump to verse 14. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Continuing in verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, meaning many members, many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together because they're committed. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Members of the body of Christ. It's like being a member of nothing else. Just even as God's word shows what membership looks like. You see, most organizations, members are consumers. I'm 48. The AARP is coming knocking soon on my door. I'm about to get so much junk mail, it's going to blow my mind. I've heard stories. They're coming soon. They're coming after me. I'm going to say no. Anyway. They're coming after me. It's an organization, and when you join that organization and most other organizations, it's what can I get out of that organization? I'm a member. I signed up. I paid my dues. Now, what am I going to get in return? People look at most organizations that they're there to serve them. But that's not the case with the family of God, with the church. God's economy, biblical membership, and biblical gathering together is totally different. See, it means that each of us has a place. That's what we find here in 1 Corinthians 12. That as members, we each have a place, and each one of us are vital to what God is doing in and through His body, His church. Do we see the difference? You're not just somebody on a membership roll that's going to get the benefits of membership. Membership has its privileges. Well, it does, but that's not the point. It's that we, as members in God's family, that we have a specific place, a specific purpose, and we are vital. Each one of us joined together are vital. Why? Because if the hand is missing, that's going to affect what the whole body, the whole family can do. If our ears are missing, how can we hear what we need to hear? Our eyes are gone. How do we see what we need to see? If we're missing our legs, we can't walk, we can't run, we can't accomplish all that God's wanting to accomplish, or it's going to take a lot longer. And so, as members of God's family, it's different. It means you matter. You're here for a purpose. You are needed. You're vital. You're important. Members in God's family. And so for us to be committed to one another, to be committed to be there. I mean, if the elbow's not there, how's a hand going to connect to the rest of the arm? We're needed. Membership in God's family and in the local church means that ministry and service go to a whole nother level from being a consumer or bystander to becoming a provider, to becoming a distributor of God's love and care for others. That's what we are as members in the local church. Providers and distributors of God's love and care for others in the church and outside of the church. And the Lord moves powerfully in and through a local church that understands this precept and understands the countercultural importance of commitment to one another and being tightly joined together. Instead of the individual results, the power of God moves through the lives and through communities with exponential effectiveness. We have in Deuteronomy 32, there's a precept that says that one can put 1,000 to flight and two can send 10,000 fleeing. That's what happens when a church connects tightly with one another. The tighter connected we are, the more committed we are to one another, the more we honor and serve one another, the more we're going to see the enemy fleeing. Because the more power we're going to have. And again, that's just an economy of God type of a thing that we get to experience and grab hold of. It's pretty awesome. Together, committed and engaged, we're stronger and more impactful as a church in this place and into the assignment that we have. Now look, we have a lot of lost people in our community. Most of you understand that. That most of the time you go out to eat, there's a whole host of people in that restaurant that are lost, that are going to hell. in our schools, walking down the street, in the malls, wherever it is. We have so many people in our community that are lost. And they are literally dying for the church to become stronger. They really are. They might not know it, but they are. They need the local church. They need those in the lost in Gilbert, need Evident Life Church to be stronger, to be more effective, to be more impactful in our community, in our land right now. They don't need us to be more comfortable. They don't need us we're going to have a spaghetti dinner, and that's awesome, and wow, I love spaghetti. But they don't need us to just have a bunch of spaghetti dinners, be fat, dumb, and happy, and go to heaven. You know what I'm saying? They need the church to get stronger, to have more power, to come out and rip the gates of hell off their hinges. I keep saying that because that's what we need to be doing. That's the kind of mentality you need to have as you walk out of your house every day. What kind of gates? Where are the gates of hell? I'm going to rip them off their hinges in the name of Jesus Christ because there are lost people on the other side that need Jesus, and I don't want them to go to hell. That needs to be our mentality, and that needs to be our mentality as a church. And when we see precepts in God's Word that says the tighter the church is together, the more committed they are to one another, when all the parts are joined together, fashioned together strongly, that the church is more powerful, more impactful, then I say we need to go that direction. We need to, because the lost are going to hell, and the church needs to go get them. And we need all of God and all of His economy and all His blessings that we can get, don't we? Can't do it in our own strength. We need God. And so our level of commitment to one another, our unity increases. Our town becomes a happier, more godly, free place where people are coming to Christ. Additionally, as we are growing and continue to grow, as God adds to our numbers daily here and weekly at Evident Life Church, as leaders here at Evident Life Church, we need to know who we are called to pastorally care for. We just do. It's so important. We take this as an elder team, as the leaders here, as pastors and leaders, we take it really seriously. I mean, there's times at night where I'll be laying in bed and the Lord will put somebody on my heart. And I'll start praying for one of you. And I'll have to get my phone and turn it on and probably wake up my wife and make a note that I need to check on somebody. Because I feel this urge from the Holy Spirit, because we're called to care for one another. And as pastors, we have that high calling and we have that Holy Spirit-given load and responsibility that we definitely feel. And so as we move to a place of church membership, we begin to find ourselves in a place where we know who is in the family that we are responsible to care for. Now, I get to do life with a lot of pastors in the East Valley. I have friends in so many churches here in Gilbert and in Chandler. It's most of the guys that I hang out with. And I will tell you what, we're a blessed area on this globe. There are some wonderful men who lead churches here in Gilbert and in Chandler that love the Lord. Spirit-filled men that are men of prayer, that fear the Lord and honor Him. But we all need to know who it is that we're responsible to shepherd. And the more clear that is, the more effective we all become as pastors in our community, pastoring our community, and the more effective we become as the greater body of Christ, all the churches together, operating together. And so another reason for more formality in church membership. It just makes us more effective as the body of Christ. We're more organized. The enemy is so stinking organized. I mean, they're able to redefine marriage. It's still, can you tell I'm a little upset about that? I don't like that. They're organized. They're intentional. Organization, intentionality, all comes from God. Those are gifts from Him. Those are precepts from Him. We find it all throughout His Word. Let's take hold of what God has ordained. Let's go to another level as the church. Our community needs it. Our state needs it. The lost need us to be that kind of church that cares that much about bringing the kingdom of God into our land, into our time right now. So finally, membership in this kind of form, as we continue to move kind of that next level of committing to one another, it actually is going to enhance the care and the ministry that we're going to have between one another. It just will. It doesn't mean that you're going to care more for one another because you sign a document and you're, quote unquote, a member now, that somehow you care more than the person who's been here for 3 or 4 or 5 months who's just, you know, still getting to know and fitting in. No, that's not the case at all. That doesn't do anything. That's getting legalistic, religious, and we're not going there. But as we continue to move forward in the things that God has for us, and we continue to knit ourselves together even tighter, that we're going to find even care for one another, which it blows my mind because you're all so amazing at this already, even that going to another level. As I conclude, I want to put a quote up on the screen from John Piper. Piper says, "Church membership is a blood-bought gift of God's grace. More than most of us realize, it is a life-sustaining, faith-strengthening, joy-preserving means of God's mercy to us. I urge you not to cut yourself off from this blessing." Now, I don't put that quote up there to try to twist anybody's arm or say that you got to make a quick decision. We're not looking for that as a leadership team at all. But I do put that up there just to say that as we get in touch with and we move forward in the things that God calls us to as a church, that we start to see more of what God wants to do in us and through us. So how do I become a member of this local church family? How do I become a member of Evident Life Church? That's the big question. And I got to tell you what, you know, as elders, we came up with all kinds of hazing, you know, that we were going to do. We started creating hoops for people to jump through. We wanted to make this really hard, you know, because if it was really... No, I'm just kidding. I'm glad y'all were laughing. I'm a big guy, and sometimes that's why I'm sitting down. Like, you know, I want to be gentle in this kind of thing. Because sometimes when I stand up, people are like, "Oh, my goodness, he's so serious and big and scary." Oh, I just love it when a little kid will come up and hug me, by the way, at church. It makes me feel so good. Like, "Oh, I'm not really big and scary. Praise God. Woo, God's working on me. Woo." Awesome. All right, church membership. How do we do it? It's really quite simple, and we want to keep it simple. And we don't want to make this some big religious hoop stuff to jump through. So basically, it's just this way. Every adult, 18 and older, here in the church, whether you've been here since the very beginning when we were meeting in my living room, which includes me, or whether you're somebody that just is brand new and you want to become a member here. And again, you don't have to become a member here to come here and to engage with this church family. That's not the case. It's not an exclusion thing at all. And please never let it look like that. And it's not an us and them thing. Never going to be that. This is just us moving into something God's calling us to. That's all. So how do we do this? Everyone, 18 and older, would go to the Belong Track. The Belong Track is 4 different classes that are actually going to be held on 2 different Sundays, but 4 classes, 2 classes per Sunday. And this is where you find out about who we are at Evident Life Church. What's our culture? What's our DNA? What are some of the words the Lord has specifically spoken over us as a church? The body of Christ has so many representations that are beautiful. Well, what representation are we here at Evident Life Church? So you find out about that, and in 201, you find out about what we believe and the doctrines. And that's important, because if you believe something completely different and you're like strong and dogmatic on that, and it's like it could be really frustrating for you. We don't want you to be frustrated. And the Lord knows I don't really want to be frustrated. So it's good. You get to find out about Evident Life Church in the Belong Track. In 301, you get to begin to discover gifts that God's put inside of you and how he's wired you and created you so special in your part, in your vital role. What are you? A hand, a leg, a foot, an eye, an ear in the church, and how you can fit in. And into 401, getting you connected in the church. And so we think it's really important. All of these things are important if we're going to move forward and become a member of something. So that's the first step, Belong Track. Which leads us to step number 2, which many would say should be step number 1, but I put it as number 2 because I believe that there will be people who will become followers of Christ as a result of even coming to the Belong Track and hearing the gospel and what God has to say even through the Belong Track and finding out how they're wonderfully and fearfully made by their Creator. But that's the second thing of becoming a member at Evident Life Church, is be a follower of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to become a child of God, to be a member of his family, except through Jesus Christ. And so there's no point of signing up for membership in a church unless you know him. But I want to tell you, if you were here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, today is the day when you are invited by Jesus. You're not here by accident. I believe the Lord, He has you here on purpose, right here, right now, to even hear about His family, about how He loves you and about how He has a plan and a purpose for you and how vital you are to Him and to His plans. And this morning, at the end of the service, you can come right up here and just share with a couple people in private, not in front of everybody, your desire to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and to come into the family of God. And then maybe be a member of Evident Life Church, or maybe God's called you somewhere else. The third thing is water baptism. Water baptism is anything but a hoop to jump through. It is an act of obedience. It's supernatural. It's phenomenal. It's so exciting. In fact, we find in God's Word in the New Testament, it was they would believe, and then they'd be baptized, and then they would be members of the church, of the local church family. Water baptism is so exciting, so mysterious, so powerful. And so I strongly encourage it. If you've been taught or you believed in the past or whatever that, you know, it's just kind of optional, and if you get around to it, it's okay. I want you to read the New Testament right now. I want you to do a word study this week on water baptism, and I'm just going to leave it between you, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit. I believe you're going to be calling me up saying, "Pastor, where's the water? Let's go." It's so exciting. It's so powerful. So water baptism is the third thing. And then the fourth thing is the membership application. Now, you can find these in the lobby as you go out, directly to the right as you walk out of these two doors at the back of the room. There will be a table with applications. It's a one-page, double-sided application. The front side, we're just asking some information about you, and this will be for every adult. Again, whether you've been here from day one or you're just coming and you want to check it out or become a member. And again, you don't have to. You can be in that process, that continuum at any point. But you just fill this out, and you would sign this. And on the back, you would put your personal testimony on the back of the piece of paper. Now, some of you are thinking, well, I want like 10 pages, maybe 12 pages to write my personal testimony. That's awesome. Condense it for me, and then we'll talk about it. I want to hear the details later. But put it, try to get it on one page. If you got to go over to another page, you can staple it to it. Awesome. Praise God. And on the front of this page, we have this statement right above the signature line. And it says that I'm in agreement with the tenets, the beliefs, and procedures contained in the bylaws of this church. Now, the bylaws were just placed out on the member resources page on our website, so you can go check those out. They're quite lengthy, about 15, 16 pages, so I didn't want to print up 200 copies of those. But they're out there for you to look at. There's a PDF form of that. But again, I'm in agreement with the tenets, beliefs, the procedures contained in the bylaws of this church. I seek to fulfill the membership responsibilities to the best of my ability, as I also endeavor to fulfill my responsibilities to the Lord and to His work. It's Him. It's all about Him. Furthermore, I will support Evident Life Church with my regular attendance, with my tithes and offerings, with my willingness to serve, and with my prayers. Membership. Again, it's more than just putting our name on a membership roll. It really is. It is commitment to one another. And commitment, as you all said earlier, commitment is good. It's good. It's good. And God bless us commitment to Him and His church and our commitment to one another. He blesses it. And membership, it's about involvement. It's also about connection in a family. And it's about the reality that you belong. You belong. And there's peace in that. There's joy in that. And there's a release that can happen when we know we belong, that we're loved, and that we're cared for. And that's my heart and my desire for everyone in this room, that you would know that you're loved, that you matter, that you're vital, that you're important. And my prayer, my desire for each one of you is that you know that you belong to His family. And that you would know the sweet peace and joy of belonging to a local fellowship and a group of people who just love you because of Jesus. They just love you. Let's stand up. I just want to invite you, if you feel comfortable, to raise your hands. I just want to say a prayer over us. If you can raise your hands if you want to, just as an act of reaching out to the Lord and as an act of worship toward Him, an act of acknowledging that He is God, that He is good. Let me just pray over us. I just want to say, God, we are raising your hands because you are good. We are raising our hands to you as a display that we love you, that we need you, and that we thank you for bringing us into your family through Christ Jesus, your Son, for bringing us into your family and forgiving us of our sins, for making us new creations in you, Christ. We raise our hands and we say thank you. Thank you for that kind of amazing love. You are truly God and you are truly good. And Lord, I just say we walk forward into this next season of life as a church family, trusting you, knowing that your ways are right, and that in your economy there are rich rewards and blessings. God, we want to be that church in this community that finds the lost being saved, the lonely finding a place, those who feel like they have no purpose, God, finding their purpose in you, in your family, in your kingdom. God, we want to be that church that is walking in power and in love. Have your way with us. We submit to you and say you are God and we are your people and we love you. Amen. Amen.